to Magical Mondays with the Psychic Cowgirl Shannon and Psychic Sidekick Virginia. We will be discussing metaphysical topics, psychic and intuitive development, and self-empowerment. Join us for information, laughter, and connection each Monday. Thanks for being here. Hey, everyone. Welcome to Magical Mondays. This is Shannon. Hi, Virginia.
Hi, Shannon. How are you?
How are you?
I am great. I'm much better after last week.
No kidding. A little dramatic, don't you think?
Well, I was trying to get out of this.
For those of you that don't know, Virginia ended up in the hospital last week having emergency surgery for a kidney stone.
Yes. It was a scary experience.
Was it?
Yes.
But I told her that it was a little too dramatic to get out of talking about parallel lives. Just saying.
The best part, I think, about my time in the hospital, which was very short, by the way, I should have never been in and out that quickly. Luckily, I mean, I was in the hospital total from the time I was admitted to the time I went home, like 7.5 hours, and that's including surgery.
Wow.
Yeah. But the doctor came in, and I kept fighting with the nurse and telling her that I wasn't having surgery because I was really freaked out about the idea of being put under.
Mm-hmm.
And she kept saying, well, I think you're having surgery. And so we kept arguing, and she said, you can just talk to the doctor when he gets here. And I said, okay, I will. The doctor came, and he's explaining to me my options, and then I'm realizing that surgery really is the only way to go. So I said to him, I mean, as straight face and as serious as I could be, I said, look, doctor, I just want you to know that I'm a certified hypnotherapist, and I'm very well aware of the impact that the conversation doctors have while patients are on anesthesia. I'm well aware of the impact it has on their subconscious. So you really have to be careful what you talk about while I'm under. He took a deep breath, and he said, okay, what would you like me to talk about? I said, rainbows and unicorns, please.
Awesome.
Yeah, so I have no clue what they think of me or thought of me. And the anesthesiologist, before the doctor came down, had given me some medicine to mellow me out and calm me down, so I was very nervous. So when I told him about the rainbow and unicorn conversation, I got a really strange look, and I had to say, I said, look, dude, this is not the drugs. I had this conversation upstairs with no medication. I'm dead serious.
Just so you know. Rainbows and unicorns all around.
Yeah. So I hope that's what they talked about. But yeah, that's a scary experience.
Or who to call for a psych evaluation.
Right.
Keep an eye on this one when she comes out.
Oh, well, at least it was fun. If nothing else, it was scary and fun.
Oh, hysterical. Hysterical.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, so I'm going to tell my story that I was just telling Virginia before we got to go on the air. I had, like, the funniest, weirdest, strangest thing happened to me the last few days. So for those of you that know me, you'll understand, and those of you that don't, let me explain. To me, everything has an energy, no matter what. So when I get friend requests from people and I don't know, like, how they know me or where they come from, I have no personal connection, I will flat out ask you. So if you don't know me and you want to be my friend on Facebook and you send me a friend request, I'll say, hi, who are you? Or how do you know me? Like, why are you sending me this? I'll say, we don't have a personal connection. Do I know you? Or I'm curious why you sent me a friend request, because everything has energy to me and I need to know, besides the fact that I'm super curious. So I've done this a lot. And I usually get an answer that I can figure out if I want to be friends with them or not. Some no, some absolutely. So I got one the other day, and I'm like, who is this person? And so I said, hi, since we have no personal connection, I'm curious as to why you sent me a friend request. So they answered me. I said yes to the friend request as I was sending it, too, so that we could have a conversation. And they said, oh, I heard about you from this other person, and I just felt that I needed to reach out to you. Nothing more to this story than that. Okay. Then they sent another message saying, interesting. No one's ever asked me why I sent them a friend request. Thank you for being, I can't remember what it was, like something like the first person that's ever done that. They were kind of offended that I did it. And I'm thinking, yeah, but my Facebook page, it's like kind of my online house. I get to decide who comes to have coffee with me and who doesn't, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this happened Saturday. All went down Saturday. Today, sometime today, that person unfriended and blocked me. What? I'm finding it hilarious because did I miss something?
Well, obviously, you have a little more insight than the rest of us do to this situation, but that is so funny to me that they want to reach out and friend request you because obviously there's some kind of hidden agenda there. If, you know, they got the vibe that you were possibly on to their hidden agenda, so that's why
yes.
you were blocked.
I'm pretty sure that's what happened because after I kind of searched around, I found where there were connections, but this person didn't mention those connections, and that made me even more suspicious. Because there was actually a really good answer or two to why they were requesting me. Because if someone's in the same group as I am, or we presented at the Conscious Wisdom Festival together, I could see why they might want
to
reach out and have a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, it makes sense to me. But when it's just out of the blue and I don't know where you found me or why you're trying to connect. Because, I mean, I get some pretty strange ones. Hello, cowgirl, because I have the cowboy hat on in the picture. Yeah. I get some, like, hello. I would like to get to know you. Seriously, buddy. I have three kids. And I work with cow shit a lot. I mean, really, three kids. Where'd I get that from?
I don't know. But it rolled out very easily.
Huh. Something I'm missing here. Anyways, I would love to know if you guys want to send me a message or tell me somehow. Do you ever ask when someone sends you a friend request? Do you ever ask, who are you? Why are you friend requesting me?
I don't.
Am I the only person that does that?
I don't know of anyone else that does. I think it's hilarious that you do it. I personally don't. I just ignore it altogether because if you check in that friend request box to see who's there and then you click it again, the notification goes away. So to me, I forget about it. And
oh, okay.
So I'm not accepting it, but I'm not denying it. I'm just ignoring it.
Huh. See, I can't leave things undone. I like clear, clean, cut energy. And if I know it's in there, yeah, I have to go get rid of it after a while. And sometimes I'm just really curious. I'll even own Snoopy, if that's what it is, because I am.
You are very good at finding out information.
Yes, I am. And my spidey senses said there might be more to the story. And to be fair, there is a lot more to that story. I think there was a lot of other stuff going on that really has no part, like I have no part of, but I want no part of whatever future scenarios were going to be played out either. So
right.
It's all good.
And you also don't want to be a pawn in someone else's game.
That's exactly it, right? Hey, Charity says she asks. Woohoo! I'm glad.
Maybe it's a Canadian thing.
Maybe it is. We just want to know. See, if someone asked me, I'd say, hey, it's because I heard about you through this and this. And actually, what I do when I send friend requests and I don't have, like, or even if I do have a connection, I will send them a message right after saying, hey,
I
heard
you.
We belong to this group, or I know you through this person, and I just thought we should get to know each other. And so, yeah, I ask all the time. Or I will ask, well, how are you? I live here. Get to know you. I do that all the time. Okay, that has nothing to do with past life regression, but I had to share because I thought it was kind of funny.
It is funny to me. I mean, and if it happened to me, I would be hysterically laughing because
I had to, like, tell you so I could do the show.
It's such a silly, it's almost childish in a way, you know?
It is. I mean, okay, unfriend me if you're offended, but to block me, that's a bit dramatic, but it's still funny. That's actually what makes it funnier, like you said.
Yeah.
Maybe we have a past life connection somewhere, and I offended her in that one, too. Dun, dun, dun. Maybe she's my parallel life. Ooh, that's creepy. Let's go there.
So, interestingly enough, I'm going to go into past life conversation a little bit. I was at home yesterday watching TV, and Oprah, I think it was the OWN network, she has her Super Soul Sunday show, and there was a bunch of reruns on, and I turned it on, or I was going through the guide, and I stopped on that channel, and it said that Dr. Oz and Dr. Brian Weiss were on there talking about past life regressions. So I was so excited, and I went to it, and I'm like, oh, I'm just catching the end, because there was literally 10 minutes of the show left. And lucky for me, they were incorrect in their on the info guide, because they were rerunning the show she had with Debbie Ford at that time.
Oh.
So the very next show was Dr. Oz and Dr. Brian Weiss. So I got to see the whole show, and I was so excited about
that. Awesome.
I really, really like Dr. Brian Weiss.
Mm-hmm.
But she said something that I loved on there. She said, and she's never had a regression, and she even said that she's a little scared too, because of what she might encounter or find, which is very common.
Yes.
She said, for somebody who's never had one, she said, for all you skeptics, I just want you to know that your belief isn't necessary to make it real. And I loved that.
Nice. That is great.
There are a lot of skeptics, right? I mean, it's kind of an odd, kind of a hard concept to grasp. And kind of like me with parallel lives.
It is. I have a lot of people that tell me they want a regression, but they've not made the appointment. It's scary.
It is a little.
Until
you
do one and realize, hey, this isn't scary at all.
Right. And I think you have to kind of be ready and be in the mindset, because I've tried regressing my husband, and he isn't fully on board with the concept. So he didn't regress. He regressed back into different memories of this current life. But, and I think the very first place he went to, I really think, was the start of something other, like past life. But I think his conscious mind started kicking in and trying to make sense of it all. So then all of a sudden he went to a different memory of from this current life.
What if
so I don't think, I think you have to be kind of mentally on board and ready.
And trust your hypnotherapist.
Are you trying to say didn't trust me?
Well, no, but
I
have an answer for that, just wait. Because the first time I was regressing Brent, he wasn't sure. And it wasn't, it's not because they don't trust us, it's because they don't know what's going to come out, and they might not want us to know stuff about them.
Oh, that's good. That makes sense.
Right? Because what if they, what if we regress them back to a life and they were this horrendous person? They wouldn't want us to know that as their current wife.
Right.
So you have to kind of be aware of that. And I would, so then the next time I said, okay, let's have a chat. Let's take you to a life that's not going to be super violent or something that will, you know, actually that one, he was having a pain in his shoulder. And so we went back to the life to fix that.
Oh, nice.
Yep, and it worked. But
that's
even
a good
so,
angle.
He is a little bit harder to regress because of that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, think about it. Would you want Ken regressing you and finding out stuff?
I don't know. I think I would because I'm so curious that I want to know the stuff, so I think I would be okay.
But would you
with
let
it.
Him?
Probably. Because I would tell him afterwards anyway.
True. See, I would let Brent too. But I think that they're just not as, it's not quite ready.
Yeah.
So,
and that's understandable.
On that note then, why don't you try if Ken has any pain anywhere or like
right.
a recurring injury or something?
Mm-hmm. And that's why I said his shoulder. I said that's a great, that's why I said that's a good angle because he's got some knee issues. So I'm going to try that.
Yes. It worked because after that, Brent didn't have any pain.
That is awesome.
It is. It's one of the interesting and cool things about past life regression because I've done it to myself and got rid of neck pain where I was going to the chiropractor every couple weeks.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of fascinating.
It is very. And I want to try more. I want to try regressing myself as well.
Cool.
Just to see what I find.
I used Doreen Virtue's stuff to do it.
Okay.
Worked really well, really, really well.
I will look into that.
What else has it done? So, for those of you that have never had one, it just feels like a daydream.
Mm-hmm.
You're never out of control. You know what's going on at all times. And also, at all times, you feel like you could pull yourself out.
Mm-hmm.
But you want to go see what's going to happen.
Right.
So you don't. But you do feel like you could, and that I think is important.
And even if you're seeing it or you're experiencing it, like with my regression, I was experiencing it all until we got to the transition point, and
right.
I froze. And so Shannon kind of pulled me back and said, "You're just going to have me observe from that point." And then I was able to watch it because it was. I wasn't ready to experience that. And what's interesting is, since then, I've thought about it and thought, wow, why didn't I let myself experience my death and see what happens afterwards and go through all that, because that's so fascinating to me. So I was able to go back unintentionally, but I did happen to go back to that exact same lifetime to experience that death because I've been so fascinated with it and curious about it.
That's cool. And how was it? How did it feel?
It was pretty awesome. I mean, not the death itself, of course.
but to be able to go back.
Mm-hmm. And to fully experience that whole situation and to see what happened and to see the looks on the people's faces. And I think my favorite part of it was right after the death. And then when I started to float above the whole scene, instantly I was forgiving and excusing of the men and their behavior. I thought, I right away said, this isn't their fault. They didn't know any better. They were doing what they thought was right, even though they didn't know and what they did wasn't right. But I had absolutely no ill feelings.
That is huge.
Mm-hmm. I think that's the part that fascinated me the most out of all of it. And I think that a lot of times I think in most cases, that is kind of how it is when people die. We're the ones who hold on to the guilt or the heaviness, and those that have died, their souls don't carry that with them. They're forgiving and loving and
yes,
all that good stuff.
Well, I have a lot of clients that will come, and they want to talk to their crossed over loved ones, and for that reason, because they're feeling some guilt.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't get to say goodbye, or they didn't get to go to the funeral, or whatever it is. And their crossed-over loved ones never, ever, ever have any ill will.
Mm-hmm.
They totally understand. They totally get it. But the people just need that release, that confirmation.
Mm-hmm. I get that a lot, too. About a month ago, I did a party, and there were so many people there that wanted to contact crossover loved ones, and I feel like 80% of the people I had that exact conversation with, like, you're the ones that carry the heaviness, not them,
mm-hmm.
So, you know.
It's just so common, hey?
Mm-hmm.
The ones that are left behind carry all the energies. So, what would you answer to the most fascinating thing about either doing or having a past life regression?
Well, having one is, I like to know what I did in the past and who I was. And to me, it's fascinating to see how it correlates to who I am today. And I like kind of connecting the dots and tying things together. Giving one or doing one, I think it's kind of the same element from the other side, and it's seeing that in the client, like seeing them kind of make the connections and have this really profound experience that nobody can explain.
Yeah. I had one client after say, that was intense. There's no way I could make that shit up.
And I think you do. I'm glad you brought that up because I think you kind of do go through a period of, did I make all of this up? And you're trying to find ways to explain away everything you just experienced.
Yes.
So I think that's normal.
Yep. Yep, because your logical brain wants to tell you that. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But yet we dream about past lives all the time.
Mm-hmm. Or not even the full life, but maybe elements of it.
Yep.
Like, for example, when I was watching the Oprah show yesterday,
okay,
they had a guy on there who he had always had dreams ever since he was a young child of flying. And he's never mm-hmm. been a pilot. He's actually a funeral director this time.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. And so he said as a child, the dreams were kind of violent and scary.
Okay.
But as he's turned into an adult, the dreams have become more more blissful and, like, enjoyable dreams of flying. And so in the regression, he kept talking about an airplane, and it turned out that he was a pilot, like a military pilot during some type of war, and his plane was shot and went down. And so, I mean, to have reoccurring dreams your whole life about flying, and then to get the validation through a regression of being a pilot, I think that's huge to pay attention to those recurring dreams.
Yes.
I have
that's wild,
things.
Hey?
Mm-hmm.
Well, and don't you think the whole purpose of us knowing that there is past lives and being able to access them, whether it's through dreaming or getting a regression, is just to help us in this life to understand ourselves? Because some things just don't make sense.
Right. And it helps to explain any type of karmic connections with other people.
Yes.
And, because that was the other thing about this guy. Him and one of his sisters had a kind of a rocky relationship, he felt. They talked to her afterwards, and she said she didn't think it was that bad.
Funny.
On his end, right, on his end, he was having some struggles towards her, and he didn't know why. And in the regression, he went to another lifetime, I want to say, and was killed because he witnessed a rape. He said it was like in an alley. He wasn't even close to it. You know, he was like watching it from somewhere, and he wasn't close enough to really be able to do anything. But somebody saw him watching this, and they killed him.
Ooh.
And then he later said that the girl being raped was his sister in this lifetime. And since the regression, he said his relationship with her has been really good. So obviously he was kind of harboring that guilt and that heavy feeling.
Yeah, hey.
So I think regressions can really give you insight and information to some karmic connections with people this time around.
Mm-hmm. I don't know how to explain it. Sometimes when people are sitting having a session with me, it even happens on the phone. It's just slightly different on the phone. But they will shape-shift. When I'm, like, looking to see what their timelines or whatever I'm looking at or looking for to help them, they will start to shapeshift. And they will shapeshift into a past life. And then I will describe what they look like. And every time they will say after, well, you know, it makes so much sense that I like this or that I do this.
Mm-hmm.
I had a really intense one. She was doing it, like, really, really obviously, and it was, she had a situation going on, so we went, and I looked at that past life, and I haven't asked her permission, so I can't tell you details. I should ask her, though, because it's a good story, and it just put all these puzzle pieces together why some people in this life were reacting so intensely to something she was doing, and once she found out what had happened in that life and however all the characters played, and so many things made sense, and it just released a bunch of energy, and she got to move forward.
See how amazing that is?
It is cool. And I've since found out that the reason I can do this is because I just have a natural talent to access the Akashic Records.
Well, look at you.
I know. Who knew? I didn't know that's what they were. I just know that I could go to this place.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even, like, yeah, you know. Anyways, so because I'm me, I'm now taking a class to focus it because, well, hey, I need to know more.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. I would do the same thing.
But I found out that's where I was getting my information. I didn't know that's where it was. Yeah, but it's fascinating. It'll even happen on a phone client. Sometimes these things will pop in, and I'll get this whole movie thing going on and sounds just like when we have a past life dream, except for everybody's awake and we're trying to have a conversation and getting interrupted. Like, whoa, back. But I also think that having past life regressions and just getting information about past lives is going to become more and more common.
I think so too.
It's just being easier to access.
And I think because they can provide an element of healing, whether physically or emotionally or mentally or spiritually, there is an element of healing in there.
Jeez.
And I think that with this huge wave and turnover of things that are happening and the way things are happening, I think this is going to be more of a go-to than a psychiatrist, say, or, you know what I mean, kind of the more medicinal therapies.
Yes. Yeah. People are going to turn to this to try to get some answers, and it will give you answers. It may not be what you expect.
Right.
It'll just be better than that.
So, would you like to
tell us how
parallel lives fit into this?
Why, yes. Yes, I would. All right. So, with parallel lives, I'll tell you about my own experiences. So, I've often thought about this concept, you know, why would this be this life that I'm living right now be the only thing going on?
Mm-hmm.
I just always saw the universe as this vast, limitless place. And the way I can describe it is, you know how an ant has its own little world? And mm-hmm. us to that ant are giant monsters, or even worse than that. Like, they just don't even have a concept of what or who we are, right?
Mm-hmm.
That little ant goes about its business and lives its life. So, if you expand that out in the whole universe and go further, we could be like a little ant.
Mm-hmm.
So I've always thought, okay, so then expand on that, and, okay, then your head starts to, spin a little, and you have to slow down. And I thought, okay, because I have these dreams, and I've always had these dreams. And in these dreams, I guess not always, I should say, as an adult, I will be living other lives. And I thought, okay, past lives. But sometimes it's stuff that's happened in this lifetime. But if I made a different choice, that would be the life I'd be living. And I'm like, mm-hmm. okay, that's weird. Of course, your thought goes to, well, so should I have made that other choice? Is that what I'm supposed to be doing? Is that what this is telling me? And I know I have clients that come and say that to me too. Especially if they dream about an old boyfriend. Well, I keep dreaming about him. Should I? I mean, is it telling me that I should have, or that I made a mistake, or is he going to show up in my life? Whatever the scenario is, right? And no, I think it's because every time we make a choice, and I think they're only the big choices, but I don't know, could be everyone. I don't know. There's an aspect of us that will live that other choice. So in my case, I was married before. I lived in Montana, and it didn't work out. And when I came back to Alberta, after, you know, I did a lot of work on myself and figuring it all out, a few years later, I started dreaming. And I would have dreams. Like, when I was doing the work, the dreams were nightmares for sure. And then I started having dreams where they're a little less nightmarish. I was just trying to get away, and I couldn't, or I was just trying to work some stuff out, and then the dreams progressively got nicer and nicer until the dreams are happy dreams. But I am still in that life, married to that person, living that life in Montana, but it's happy and it's not like it was. So I thought, well, isn't that fascinating? So what if I healed that during dream time? And then I thought, well, they're pretty vivid. What if it's parallel life dreams? What if there is another aspect of me that did do that and is working through all that? That's pretty cool, because then I don't have to. Right? Because if another aspect of you is going through scenarios and situations and healings, yes. What do you think, Virginia?
It kind of makes sense, a little bit.
This is why I torment her about parallel lives, because I think it's cool, and I think it makes total sense.
I can get the thought of the whole concept of, okay, what if we're the ants and there's something so much bigger than us? That I grasp, no problem.
Okay.
Kind of get it with dreams, because there are certain dreams that I have that involve people from my past, and I think well, I cut them out of my life. Is this, was this not the right thing? Or was this, should I don't understand why I keep having these dreams about these people who I no longer have any connection with. And are they tormenting me? Are they haunting me? Like, what is the issue here? And I never really get an answer. So maybe I'm still kind of working through the healing part of it, because the dreams have gone from being kind of not nightmarish, but very emotional, like just heavy.
Okay.
And to now, if I do have a dream with this person or any of these people, I don't wake up with that heaviness and that heavy emotion. I wake up and I think, oh, okay, whatever. And I go on about my day and don't even think twice about it. Whereas years ago, I would have these dreams and I would be sad the whole day, and I would be like kind of stuck in my head of why this is happening, and you know, and I would really have this like kind of sense of longing and this sadness, and now I don't have it anymore. So maybe I've kind of worked through the healing, but the thing is I don't have them like you've explained them. I don't have them where like I'm, oh, maybe I am, because in my dreams it's not in the past, it's, you know, my current time, my current... It's kind of hard because there is an ex who shows up in my dreams sometimes, and we'll be having conversation and it'll seem like we're together in the dream, and then all of a sudden something in my head says, but you're married to Ken. Why are you even talking to this person? So I don't know if that's creating the conflict or what's making it a little hard for me to grasp. What are your thoughts, Shannon?
I think you're having parallel life. Okay, but a parallel life just means that there's an energy of you that went to take care of that.
Mm-hmm. And that makes sense to me.
And maybe it's not like, maybe it's just an energetic parallel life, right? I don't know if they're physical parallel lives, right? Oh, maybe I do. I do have something to tell you about that.
Oh, no.
But I just think that it sounds freaky and weird. At the same time, how magnificent. Because if you have another aspect of yourself taking care of this, then this personality that I have right here, right now, doesn't have to.
Mm-hmm.
And I get to benefit from that healing. And I think that's what the dreams are about, just to, like, connect you both. Because then I said, okay, I want to know about this. So then I had a dream that I met myself.
Oh, wow.
And I was sassy. My other self was just as sassy as this self. And I was wearing a dress that I own in my closet. And I was at a function, but I was at a function where my husband and I used to live, as if to say there's an aspect, like maybe there's another energetic world where we stayed there. And I smirked at myself, which I totally would do. And I looked at myself and I went, wow, my hair is not as wild and crazy and outrageous as I think it is. And that's exactly what I would say if I met myself. I'd check out my hair and say, huh, because, you know, it's wild and curly and drives me crazy. That's exactly what I would probably do. Ask for tips, like, you know. And it was me. It was like the smirking, sassy Shannon having a conversation with another sassy Shannon. It was so funny.
Okay, now I'm lost.
That was in my dream.
I know. I can't wrap my head around that. The energetic part I can, and like in another aspect of us energetically working out, because that makes total sense. You know, the person that I would have dreams about is an ex of sorts, but was also a longtime friend before any dating and even after. And our friendship ended on not a great note, and I've always kind of felt bad about that because it was really my fault, and I know that it was. And I didn't say the right things. I didn't say what I wanted to. And so by skirting around the issue, I kind of made it worse. And I've always kind of wished I could have done it a little differently or just been more honest or something, because I do feel bad. I feel like I hurt his feelings, and that wasn't my intention.
And, so what if another aspect of you made a different decision and is living that part? And, again, it doesn't have to be a physical life. What if it's an energetic thing? But because it would be in another dimension, right?
Yeah, and that part I'm not fully sure of, but I can understand the other aspect of me healing that whole thing for me so that I don't have to worry about it, because I really don't worry about it anymore since the dreams have gone from being heavy and emotional to being just whatever, and I rarely even have them anymore. So I feel like that aspect has been healed for me.
Except when you talk about it, your energy gets jittery.
Really?
Yep. Okay, but let me ask you this. So that energetic you that's healing all that, where is that?
I don't know. It's floating around healing all this stuff.
There's just an angel, Virginia, floating around, healing all over the place. Why couldn't there be another universe? Okay. Are you ready for this next part?
No, but maybe my energy is a little jittery because I'm nervous about, like, fully grasping this concept. I think that's what makes me jittery is, like, well, maybe there is something to this.
When you were talking about the situation, though, your energy got jittery and sad.
Oh, well, because I do kind of still feel bad.
Well, yes. So what if there... But that has nothing to do with the part. Okay, here's something else. So I love Dolores Cannon's books. She's written a whole bunch, and she... I was pondering all of this for months and months and months, probably a year or two. Then I came across her book, and it validated every thought I ever had about this. But she taught me some new stuff. So, and here's one of them. In her book, she talks about we can jump between the parallel lives, and we wouldn't even know it. So there's a universe that's exactly like ours, everything in it, except for one thing is different. So say that you went to look for something and you couldn't find it, and then an hour later you walked to a spot and it was sitting right there. That hour that you couldn't find it, you could have jumped to the parallel universe. And then whatever you is in that universe jumped to this one. So I was pondering that. I look outside to my corral, and there was a tree missing. And I'm like, yeah, whatever. I'm like, okay, that tree should be there. What on earth is going on? So I just walked away. I thought, okay. And then, you know, a couple hours later, the tree was back. And I'm like, okay, you're funny. Then I went to go outside, and I was going to put on my little gold Avon Croc shoes that I slip on to go out to the garage. They were gone. So, of course, I, you know, thought a couple pasture words because they're convenient and found some other shoes, went out and did what I had to do, came back in, continued on my day. A few hours later, I went to go do something else outside, and they were right there in front of the door. But, of course, I'm like, yeah, you're funny. Really funny. I wish I'd have known I was in a parallel universe. I could have found out. I don't know what I would have done. Nothing, probably, but...
Okay, so how does that tie in with, like UFO and alien type things? Because I was watching, like, this documentary on television one day, like ABC or something, and they were talking about UFOs and aliens, and they had, you know, firsthand accounts from people that they were interviewing that had these, I wouldn't say so much as abductions, but they knew that they were being visited because things would disappear. Like, they specifically said the remote control would disappear when visits were happening. And I remember watching the show and thinking, oh, that's funny, you know, like, you lose your remote, da da da. No joke, that night I went to bed and I fell asleep with the TV on, and the TV was really loud. So I go to reach for the remote to turn the volume down or turn the TV off or something, but the remote was nowhere to be found. It wasn't in bed with us anywhere. I mean, I was out of bed, like, pushing my husband, like, reaching under him, under the pillows. I took all the pillows off the bed. I shook the blanket. He woke up in the middle of the night, asked if I was crazy. I looked all through the nightstand. I looked in the drawers in the nightstand. I got down on the floor next to the bed, searched the whole floor over there, under the bed, everywhere. Couldn't find it. And then my husband wakes up in the morning, gets ready for work. Every morning he comes and he kisses me goodbye. And that morning he did, same as normal. And I happened to open my eyes, and as I did, I was laying on my side. So when I opened my eyes, I was looking over the side of the bed to the ground, and I said, oh, there's the remote, and grabbed it. But it was not down there because I was on my hands and knees on that floor 4 hours earlier, and it wasn't there. So I kind of took that as like, oh, haha, you guys are funny, very similar thoughts as you. So what do you think how do you think that might tie in, or do you think it's two separate concepts, or?
I think it's two separate concepts.
Okay.
It's too coincidental that you watched the show and then your remote went missing.
Right. That's true. But that was your story. It kind of reminded me of the same situation. So I didn't know so do you think that maybe you were reading the book and so your mind is kind of wondering, and so then you experience the situation to prove to you that, yeah, this is what can happen?
Absolutely, because if I wouldn't have, I wouldn't even have noticed.
That makes sense. Now,
right.
I'm telling you, if tomorrow something goes wrong, because I'm sitting here wondering tonight.
You're going to visit a parallel life tomorrow. Then you'll know. Well, have you ever driven somewhere and on your way you think, was that there before?
Yes.
Dun, dun, dun. I don't know. Well, I'm going to find out, though, because I'm taking this class to focus my visitations to the Akashic Records, and I'm going to ask. That's going to be one of my questions. Then I will tell you all. I'm going to ask about parallel lives. I can fully grasp past lives, but then again, is time linear? Like, is time like that, or is it a circle?
I don't know. That's hard. That's a hard thing for me to answer. Because in one sense, I want to say it's linear. And in another sense, I want to say it's circular.
And even if they are in the past, they could still be happening simultaneously, right?
That's the part that I can't grasp. I can get, like, the energetics of it. But for some reason, my mind I just can't wrap my mind around it, and I don't know why. I don't know if I'm afraid to find something out or if my brain is just so, has so much going on right now that kind of delving into this concept is too much at this moment. I can't figure that part out.
It's just not ready. I don't know. I don't know. It makes sense to me because I just think our universe is so much bigger and yet so much more simple. Ooh! I can share this because it was in a class. There was a lady that came to one of my classes and we ended up talking about parallel lives. And she related experience that happened to her and her husband. They were going on a trip and they stopped somewhere. And this couple that they did not know walked up to them and started chatting to them, saying, oh, yeah, we know you. And they're like, no, you don't. Yeah, but they had different names. You're this person.
Oh.
And they're like, no, we're not. Well, yeah, you are. You have to be. You look exactly like them. And they Like, these people were insistent that they knew them, and they didn't. And so, but same thing. She was reading these books, too.
That gave me the goosebumps.
Mm-hmm. Or how many times have you had people say to you, I'm sure I saw you at this place. And you're like, no, I wasn't.
I don't think I've had that, but I do get all the time, are you related to so-and-so? And it's always a different so-and-so, but it's, is your name this, or are you related to this person? And then I say no, and then, oh my gosh, you look exactly like this person's sister, or you look exactly
yes.
like this person. I get that all the time.
I get that a little bit, too, but I've also gotten, I'm sure I saw you at this place. Nope. I had a friend, I'm sure I saw you driving down the highway 7 hours away today. I'm sure it was you. Nope. It just, I don't know, it's something to think about for sure. Because, I don't know, we could do some pretty cool, magical, energetic things.
Yeah.
Why not? Right?
Yeah.
And how magnificent, though, that this one incarnation can be, like, healing so much at one time.
Right.
That it's not a straight line. It's actually bigger than that, and maybe even a circle.
And that part I can grasp. I don't know why certain parts of it make sense to me and others don't. I'm not sure. And I don't want to think about it.
I'm done. So, yes, check out Dolores Cannon, her books. They're good. The Convoluted Universe series. Kind of fascinating. And she actually gets all her information through past life regression.
Wow.
I forgot to tell you that part, didn't I?
You did.
Yes. That's what she does. She does past life regression. Oh, now you're more intrigued, aren't you? I can tell.
I am. I know you're going to push the issue until I'm fully on board.
Of course I am. Isn't that just how I roll? Yep, I'll just keep planting the seeds.
But that's the thing, you know, with past life regressions, the things that you can learn are just beyond fascinating to me, whether it's something
yes.
about yourself or something about that time in history or something about someone else or, you know, a connection that you have with someone this lifetime. Like, there's so many elements that you can learn and heal and grow from in a regression that it's just so fascinating.
Because it's vast.
Mm-hmm.
And it also, you do your regression, and then it has ripple effects after. Your healing continues for a very, very long time.
Yes, because how long ago was it when we did mine?
It's got to be a couple years.
It's got to be at least three.
At least 3 years? Wow.
At least. And I'm still, like, I'm still feeling effects from it.
Mhm. That's how cool it is. It just
mm-hmm.
it's like you know, when you have a situation or an issue that you acknowledge, then you can start the healing process on it once you know what it is, right?
Right.
The past progression is similar, right? Once you go and look at a situation or experience it, then it just starts the healing process automatically.
Mhm. Well, and mine had to do with, the major healing component for mine had to do with who I am and what I do and my gifts
mm-hmm.
and how many, and I know that was the healing component because I've had Akashic Record readings. I've had other past life type readings that didn't involve a regression that highlighted the exact same issue from a completely different lifetime. So that's, I knew that that was the component that required the healing for me to move forward this lifetime, because it's, you know, held this element of fear in stepping forward with who I am and what I do and being comfortable and open and okay with it, as opposed to being scared to say anything and being ridiculed and chastised and all of these other things because of
right.
what I do. So
true.
I think that had I not had the regression, I wouldn't be on this radio show with you. I wouldn't be doing a lot of the things that I'm doing today had I not had the regression, because I wouldn't have experienced those feelings and those emotions and the necessary learning for me to energetically heal.
Nice, right?
Mm-hmm.
And fascinating.
Very. Charity is in the chat room. I'm wondering if she has ever had a regression.
Not with me. No, I'm harassing Charity a little bit. I do think we've talked about it, but I can't remember right now.
And I know it takes a minute for her to
hear us.
Right.
Because we're talking way ahead of everybody. That is so weird, though. Okay, let me think. If I had to pick something about a past life regression that I thought was the most profound, what would I say? It's similar to you. It's amazing the parallels, throw that word in, between the lives, right? And how some of the same themes or the same people, like that's just really fascinating.
Like, for example, I visited two other lifetimes as well, where I was in, I'm so bad with geography, so this is terrible, but I was in Asia somewhere. both times I was a man, and I was of Asian descent, and I was a healer in one of them, and then the other one, I don't know exactly what I was. But there was some really profound information that came through on that one. But it's interesting to me that I was male and Asian in two different lifetimes, because I've always enjoyed, not enjoyed, that's the wrong word, that came out wrong. That was going to be another moment.
Yeah,
I
know, I was waiting. Then totally inappropriate laughter.
So it's coming out completely wrong. But I've always had a thing for Asian. I mean, like, my first real boyfriend was Asian, and I'm not. So, and I've always, and since dating him, I had always kind of had this little thing, and it's always been like a joke with me and my husband. he was in a band for a while, and another band that was playing with them happened to be all Asian guys. And he was like, I don't think you can come to this show.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. So I've always, so to me, it kind of gives me a giggle moment that, like, oh, that explains my draw towards them. And it's just kind of funny to me. It makes sense to me.
And now you
and
know
it explains,
why.
It explains my love of certain aspects of the culture and stuff, too, you know.
True. Okay, we have 20 seconds left.
Oh, no.
I see, it goes by so fast. Do you remember what we're doing next week? Oh, Virginia's gone. Her call was dropped. Kay, I have to remember what we're doing next week. I don't remember, so it'll be a surprise. Yay. Thank you, everybody, for listening. And I'm going to say thank you from Virginia because her phone dropped her. I didn't do it, honest. And we will chat with you all next week. Bye-bye.